It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now I understand. It's a Friday song. Just ignore the title. This is Shania Twain. No relation to Mark. Man, I feel like a woman. Man, I feel like it's Friday here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 4 o'clock, sitting in for Chris Russell before we hand things over to Craig Hoffman. He'll take you on your afternoon drive home. Coming up momentarily, I'll let you hear my conversation with former Clemson head coach Tommy Bowden as we take a look ahead at the college football season. We'll take a spin around the NFL before we get out of here as well. But right now, though, I want to finish Nell's Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the National Football League. Two teams left to go. We'll rerun the list 6 through 3 here quickly. Number six, Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. Went on ad nauseum about how tough I thought they got this offseason, adding Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, two dudes that are really going to help them out in the short term and long term potentially. Number five, we had the Fighting Dan Campbells, the Lions coming in at the fifth best team, in my opinion. I think DJ Reader and Terrion Arnold make their defense a step better than they were a season ago. Maybe that's all they need to punch their ticket to the big dance. They were right on the doorstep yesterday of postseason prosperity, or last year rather, of postseason prosperity. Number four, the Philadelphia Eagles, or the Brazil Eagles, as I should call them. Eagles adding Saquon Barkley to the mix, drafting Cooper DeJean, bringing over Devin White via free agency. I'm excited to see Bryce Huff on the edge for them. He's someone that has been really impactful with his limited pass rushing snaps with the Jets. Expect him to have a more expanded rollout in Philadelphia. Speaking of the Jets, they come in at number three in Nell's Super Six Pack. I think their offensive line is the saving grace for this group. They are going to run the football. Chris Russell is out there somewhere flapping his wings hard as hell in the cage because the Jets are going to run the football. I think it's a group that found out they're going to get healthier at receiver before week one. Mike Williams, their star-studded free agent acquisition at wideout from the Chargers, going to be cleared and ready for their Monday night football opener. I think Breece Hall, Braylon Allen are the key to this Jets offense this year. I look at their defense and also say it's a badass pass rush if Hassan Reddick is ever able to make it. Final two teams in Nell's Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the National Football League. Number two, the biggest threat in the National Football League to a three-peat from a certain organization. Houston Texans. The Texans got better on both sides of the football after shocking the football world in 2023. I mentioned the toughness element that Josh Jacobs adds to the Packers. I think you can say the same thing about Joe Mixon with the Houston Texans. Him and Damian Pierce have an opportunity to make up one of the most dynamic running back duos in all of the National Football League. They're a legit group. Cam Akers, a part of that squad as well. But the big reason for Houston, we know what they got offensively, right? Stephon Diggs comes over, makes life easier. John Mechie, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, you name it. They're the best receiving core in the NFL for my money. They just are. But what they added on defense, Lord have mercy. Houston, we got a problem, and it's for the rest of the National Football League. I mentioned Kamari Lassiter, national champion out of the University of Georgia, who should be a Commander if it was up to me. I think he's damn good. Put him opposite Derek Stingley, now you're cooking with gas. But what they added to this front seven, Danielle Hunter, the most slept-on edge rusher in the National Football League. Danico Autry, coming over from Houston. When he's finally done his suspension, he'll be impactful. And then Azeez Al-Shaahir was with D'Amico Ryans in San Francisco. They're very familiar with his game. I think this Texans defense is going to take the AFC by storm. Can't wait for it. Texans coming at number two. Then number one, pretty obvious. Who's number one? Kansas City. I think they should be the favorites for a three-peat this year in the NFL. It's never happened, ever. I think they make history this year. And if they three-peat, hear me out here. If they three-peat, does it close the gap between Mahomes and Brady for the greatest quarterback of all time? I think it does. But what do I know? I'm just some dumb radio host. 301-230-0980 is the number. Here's Nell's Super Six Pack one more time. 6-1. Packers 6, Lions 5, Eagles 4, Jets 3, Texans 2, Chiefs 1, and then the three teams that are right on the doorstep of making Nell's Super Six Pack, but they weren't fly enough to get in the club. Dolphins, Niners, Falcons. We'll take a pause on the NFL for a second. We'll go around the NFL before we get out of here and look at some of the hot-button topics as we get geared up for week one of the regular season. But earlier this week, I got the chance to catch up with former Clemson head coach Tommy Bowden. We took a spin around the college football landscape as we preview a massive week one. Big weekend of college football coming up ahead. Couple of big-time matchups within the top 25. The Aflac kickoff is the one that I know a lot of us are going to have circled. Georgia playing host to 14th-ranked Clemson. We'll see Miami and Florida. I'm excited for that one as well. To talk all things college football, including this big weekend that we have ahead, joining us right now on the guest hotline is former Clemson head coach and ACC network analyst Tommy Bowden. Tommy, what's going on, my brother? How you feeling?
Good afternoon. We're just getting ready for the big kickoff on this. Well, it's really not Saturday. I think there's 20 games on Thursday,
right?
and another 15 on Friday. So I'd like to say I'm waiting for Saturday, but that's not the way it is anymore.
Yeah, you're darn right, man. It is going to be exciting. There are a couple of big marquee matchups on Thursday. I know a lot of folks excited to see Coach Prime in Colorado for year two. We'll get to them here momentarily. But I got to start with what we saw this past weekend. Brent Key and company, Georgia Tech, coming in as major underdogs against Florida State. And if you got the chance to watch that game, from the opening snap, Brent Key's group dominated both sides of the line of scrimmage. Their defense was a group that was under a lot of scrutiny last year. They showed a lot of good pressure packages on third down, forcing DJU into some tough decisions. When you look overall at why Florida State ultimately did not get the job done, Tommy, what would you say?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, and you mentioned the domination, I think the battle's won up front. In a game like that, Georgia Tech try out to prove something. Florida State probably read too many press clippings. Usually that fades in the first quarter. Georgia Tech comes out real aggressive. It never faded. Georgia kept up the physicality on the offensive line. That surprised me. Yeah. Dabo Swinney probably feeling a little good about right now because, in his opinion, DJU did not have it. I remember as a young coach sitting in my father's personnel quarterback and talk about one of his quarterbacks. He said, he ain't got it. And, well, what's it? Well, you know, we find out what it is and he don't have it. So I think at the end of the – now, I don't throw the loss on him.
No.
But I'm just saying, is going from here on out for Florida State to jump back in as a contender, as a top 12 team in the playoffs, they better find somebody with it. But
Can I cut you off real quick here? Because I think it is fascinating. Think about the position that program is in with Mike Norvell coming off a 13-0 season. To go out and get him as your portal quarterback to try to keep the momentum going, what the hell were they thinking?
You know, I don't know. When they lost on, was it Cam Ward that went to Miami? Is that the guy's name?
Yes,
They were in it heavy, hot and heavy on him. I think he brought more to the table
for
and had a more impressive resume And when they lost out on him, I think they fell back to DJ, and I don't think he's the answer. I think Clemson proved that was proven at Clemson. I'm a little bit surprised when I saw that marriage when that happened, because to hit your horse to a guy that has had, just not able to get over the hump.
Tom, let's be real. He has had multiple opportunities to be the big man on campus at three different spots and hasn't earned it. I will give him this credit. That final touchdown drive that he had to tie things up, I thought was the best he looked all game. And for him to save his best up for the biggest moment, I think was a change for him. But ultimately, in an ACC that I think is a lot better than people give it credit for, Florida State looks like they're in trouble. They're going to be a run-first team, I think, for the majority of the regular season.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting on how they respond. Yeah. After the Georgia game, they had some time, a lot of time to regather and refocus and kind of fill the holes that they had from NFL draft. Yeah. But it looks like there's a lot more holes, I'm sure, than what they anticipated. And, you mentioned that last drive with DJ Underwood. He played one game like that at Clemson against Notre Dame. I don't know if he came in and he played that great game, and he looked to be the answer. But there are obviously some deep-seated issues, and they resurfaced, and now it's been a 3-year continuum. And I do think Florida State's going to have some potential problems on jumping in the top 12. I thought before the season they are shoo-in for the top 12, but now I think you got to replace Clemson instead of Florida State as one of ACC's contenders in the top 12.
Yeah, we'll get to the Tigers here right now, man. They got a big matchup to really put on, I would say, Tommy, for the entire ACC. Everyone across the country feels as if Georgia's the best team. I don't know if they come out and win this weekend, but I think they've got a massive opportunity to show that they deserve a spot in that top 12. What I'm curious to see, because I'm a big offensive guy, I want to see Klubnik to Wesco Jr. How is that relationship continuing to develop? I know Klubnik had an interesting quote at the ACC kickoff saying, you'll see when it comes to Wesco. How good do you think that duo could be right away, and where do you think they rank in a revamped, loaded, I would say, ACC?
Well, I think you put you hit the nail on the head as far as who needs to be productive in a game of this magnitude. You can go back to when Dabo first went; they had a game, Todd Boyd, followed up by Deshaun Watson, followed up by I forget the guy's name. Generational quarterback went the first round. What was the guy's?
Trevor Lawrence.
I'm sorry. Yeah, guys, I feel like an idiot for getting him. But those are all guys that produced in big games. And for you to mention Cade Copeland, I think that's going to be the key in this Georgia game on how well he can connect with his skill people. They're going to need big plays. I don't think they can sit and win a knockdown, drag-out fight with the University of Georgia. So it's important for those two guys to be productive. And Clemson has had that in the past. I don't know if Cade is up to those three guys. I think this will be a good indication. And the other thing that's really going to be interesting, Florida State drops, Clemson drops. ACC has fallen behind a little bit to the Big Ten, the SEC. I think those two marquee games to start the college season is really going to put the ACC behind the eight ball on trying to regain credibility as one of the top three conferences.
I think you make a good point there, man. That's why I thought this weekend was so interesting for Georgia Tech to be able to win, because they're a team that I saw most predicted they were, second or third worst team in the conference, and for them to come out and punch Florida State in the mouth the way that they did. If Florida State can finish well, if Clemson can prove to be tough against Georgia, does the committee maybe look at the depth of this conference and say, wow, you've got a Miami that's supposed to be much improved. Florida State, even though they slipped up early, much improved. Virginia Tech with Kyren Drones, I think is going to be much improved. I don't know if that is enough to improve the reputation of this conference, but we'll see. I want to get back to Clemson here for a second. Because you mentioned Klubnik and it really being on him. They got to go out and establish some type of balance offensively. If you watched the Gator Bowl last year, Phil Maffa and what he was able to do, four touchdown runs, ran over a couple of linebackers. He's got the physicality, I think, that this offense needs. How well do you think this Clemson offensive line is going to be able to do against this defensive line of Georgia?
Well, I think you've just seen the importance of the game that was just played, Georgia Tech's ability to dominate the line of scrimmage. And for Clemson, there's no doubt take a little bit of pressure off of Cade by establishing some kind of running game. But, man, this is the elite. This is the top. This is the cream of the crop in college football as far as defensive play and defensive physicality up front in their front seven. If they can do that, they got a chance. If they can't, it's going to be a long, long day. But the running back at Clemson, yes, he is big. He is physical. But he's going to be running against the biggest and the most physical front, but possibly in college football.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Right now, looking at the spread, Georgia 13.5-point favorites. I may sprinkle a little bit of cheddar on that one. I don't know whether or not, you know, they're 14 points better or whether or not, you know, Clemson will be able to compete in that one. But it's probably one of my favorite games of the weekend. Another game that I'm super interested in is another program, Tommy, that's got a lot of pressure on them. James Franklin at Penn State has come in and done enough to get them back to where they're a power player in the conference, but they haven't been able to win any big games. They travel to West Virginia in a hostile environment against a program that I think is much improved. How do you see Penn State, West Virginia going? Because I'm pretty high on the Mountaineers.
You know, we've talked a lot about the quarterback play, but Green, the quarterback at West Virginia, he brings something to the table, the running ability. Unfortunately, he has not performed well. And, you know, his passing completion percentage is a little over 50%, I think 53%. And that's not very good. That's very average. He'll have to play a lot better versus Penn State. But he does present problems for Penn State. He is a tough guy. He's a leader. He's emotional. He's enthusiastic. He's a spark plug, not only for the offense, but for the team and on that sideline. So if he can hit some passes and throw for over 60%, I think they've got a great chance to beat him. The pressure, like you say, is on Penn State. People waiting for Penn State from what Ohio State and Michigan has done with Ryan Day and of course, Harbaugh taking national championship. Hey, we've waited long enough. 10 wins is good, but they get impatient because of the history with Joe Paterno. So when you said pressure, yes, there is pressure on James Franklin.
Yeah, 110%, man. And I think, you know, Penn State also with the quarterback trying to prove that he is legit when it comes to being a big-time guy at the next level. I think a lot riding on this season for the Nittany Lions. I want to go back to the ACC for a second. Miami, Tommy, is a group that, look, it's now or never for Coach Cristobal, right? You're able to get Cam Ward in there. You're able to spend some big-time money in the portal. It looks like a group that is right now ranked 19th, but I wouldn't be stunned if they end up making it in to the 12-team college football playoff. They're 2.5-point favorites on the road against Florida. It's one of those games that if I was a college player, I'd love it, because if you lose it early like this, if you're Miami, your season's probably over, right?
Yeah, you know, every year it's amazing what Jimmy Johnson and Dennis Erickson and Howard Schnellenberger and all those coaches did with winning national championships. And then all of a sudden, they're back. They're close. They've got the quarterback. I fall for the same thing because I know they're here. I was at Florida State as a young coach playing Miami. You're on all those teams. And Cristobal, he's a great recruiter. And you look how they're nationally ranked. And they've got a great defensive front. They look like they do in the past. But, you know, in Tarzan, you know, they look like Tarzan, play like Jane sometimes. And is it going to be that? Is it going to be that same thing? But, man, on paper, it's Miami. They're back. They've got their swagger. Man, it's just they fall. So until they do it, and we're gonna have to probably won't know until probably 3/4 the way of the year. But they look great. They're Miami. They're back, and they look the same. The green and orange. But I can't drink the Kool-Aid again. I've done it too many times.
That may be the line of the afternoon. Look like Tarzan, play like Jane. Isn't that something?
Yeah,
I want to take a look at the It is a shame. But take a look at the new revamped Big Ten, Coach, because I would have to say, I'd probably say this is the best conference in college football. I know the SEC, you know, still has their powerhouses in it. Ohio State, we talked about, you know, programs under pressure this year. With Ohio State buying this $20 million roster that they bought, bringing in Judkins, the star-studded freshman wide receiver, they've got a lot going in their favor. Is it now or never for Ohio State? And I understand they've got pressure on them, Coach, but is it the type of pressure where if you don't win the whole thing this year, could you potentially see Ryan Day on the hot seat?
You know, for so many years, my father couldn't win the big one. He can't win the big one. They are patient with him and stayed with him. He had 14 top five finishes. But I think Ryan Day is that type of guy. He is going to get a national championship. I noticed that Urban Meyer says, this is the most talented Ohio State team I have ever seen. Now, obviously, he's saying that to add a bit of additional pressure on Ryan Day.
Right.
Hey, I went there and won a national championship. I didn't have near the players you got, Ryan. You got the best in the history of college football. I'm sure Ryan appreciates that kind of assistance from Urban. But, yeah, I think he could have another 11-win season. If he doesn't win the national championship of the Big Ten, I don't think they'll get rid of him. Yeah, I think more his pressure is internal pressure. He
really
wants it so bad. Yeah, he wants it so bad. And the media, yes, will say pressure. Ohio State, they've lost to Michigan 3 years in a row. Michigan won the national championship. But I think the powers to be now it does need to beat Michigan, as I say that. Beat them and win your 11 games. Lose to somebody else. But I don't think the pressure, other than what the media might put on, is as intense as it deep down is.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, right? You mentioned the comments from Urban Meyer. I caught wind of those as well, and I agree with 100% what you said. It's one of those things where it's like, hey, man, you know, you see that you wanted to be in the big boy chair so bad, it ain't as easy as you thought it was, especially when you go out and acquire all this big-time talent. The team that I'm really looking at, though, when it comes to the Big Ten is Oregon. I really am curious to see, you know, if Coach Dan Lanning and company can keep it going. Really good play last year out of transfer quarterback Bo Nix. Do you get the same this year with Dylan Gabriel? And for Oregon, Coach, even if they don't win the big game this year, based on all of the resources that they have to make that program one of the blue bloods in college football, I think they're here to stay for a long time.
They've never had a problem with recruiting, but I think this will enhance their recruiting to another level because of the Big Ten appeal, and probably will make them fairly lucrative to some of the Midwest players that they haven't been that hot on.
Yeah.
But, you know, for so many years we have sat there and looked at the Big 12. The Pac-12. They're way on the West Coast. We don't know much about media. Their games are later. They don't play anybody. They don't play defense. We're finally going to be able to tell if that's a true statement or not, whether all those things we said for years about the Pac-12 on just being an offensive league and no defense, no physicality. They're going to grow into physicality if they don't have it, but their head coach, his middle name is physicality, and his background would say Saban and Kirby Smart. That's what he preaches to them. That's in his DNA. So I think of all the Pac-12 teams, they're going to make the adjustment to the Big 12 as much as any, maybe so more so than Lincoln Riley, who has more of an offensive background, but he's changed course defensive coordinators. But again, that's another story.
I would feel crazy, Coach, if I let you go without asking about Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes. Two-parter for you on them. One, as a former head coach and someone that's had to sit in that seat and answer questions at the podium, what did you make of Dion and him and the program restricting access to that one CBS reporter?
You know, one of the things I learned from my father about the media, and my father was great with the media, maybe more so than any head coach as far as his accessibility and the way he handled them. But his motto was kill them with kindness, you know. And I think, as they say, you catch more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. And let him stay.
For sure.
Maybe don't answer his questions. Maybe answer his questions every other day or every third day. and give them maybe generic answers. But I think you hurt yourself when you exclude one and try to limit their accessibility to your program. I think it's a mistake. But I was around a guy that was as accessible as anybody.
Right.
And so I disagree with how he handled it. But I've had guys like that, and I've wanted to kick them out. And I went to my sports information director, and I said, I don't want that guy anymore. In my press conference, and the guy said, hey, let me explain something to you.
Yeah, right. And, there's a couple of rules
you can't do that. So, I disagree how he's handled it, the media standpoint.
Coach, how do you view the way he's been covered since he's gotten to Boulder? Because it felt like last year, you know, when they knock off TCU in the opener, there was like this honeymoon feel around the program, and everyone was rooting for him, and they had all the nationally televised games. It feels like to me he is one of the more polarizing guys now in all of pro sports, but the scrutiny that he has been under from the way that he exiled the roster to the heavy use of the portal, what do you make of the way he's been covered here the first couple seasons?
You know, unfortunately, he invites that kind of scrutiny because of how he handles the press. He's prime time.
Yeah.
But to me as a coach, I look at, okay, the margin of victory or the margin of loss before he got there was, I think, like 30-some points.
Yeah.
He chopped that down to 4 wins, some last-point losses, and he probably cut that thing to – I don't know, to maybe 7 points to start a third. I think they're on to something really good. And I think if anybody can handle the media, it's prime time. I like what he's done. Of course, he gets criticized about the high school recruiting. Once he wins, they'll forget about that and go to the transfer portal as a way of success. So, yes, is he probably criticized a little bit too unfairly by the media? But he brings that on himself, you know. So, so that goes to the territory if that's the way you want to react. But from a X and O standpoint, and look at what he's done and the way he's built it, I think they're on to something good at Colorado with him.
Real quick, Coach, I'll let you go on this. Put you on the hot seat. Who wins the national title, man?
I'm gonna say Georgia. They got the quarterback.
Yeah.
They've recruited well, and their quarterback is just—he's got it. You look at him, you know, man. He don't look like that much, but he's kind of like Stetson Bennett. He just produces. So I think they've got all the ingredients.
For sure, Coach. I appreciate you giving me some time as always, my man. We'll do it again soon. That is former Clemson head coach Tommy Bowden getting us ready for a big weekend of college football. Nats in action later tonight against the Chicago Cubs. We'll give you our Nats weather report and starting lineup next. .301-230-0980, the number here on the Team 980. It's the Chris Russell Show. About a half hour left with you before we hand things over to Craig Hoffman. He'll take you on your afternoon drive home. Before we get out of here, we'll take a spin around the National Football League. Let's look at some of the hot-button topics as we get geared up for Week 1. But right now, I want to get to our Nats weather report. Today's Nats weather report is brought to you by our friends at Pepco. Tonight, Nats and Cubs for a weekend series. 6:45 first pitch. We're slated to see our pal Jake Irvin on the bump, looking for win number 10 on the season. Weather out here in the Navy Yard was wet and nasty earlier on the way in. First pitch time around 6:45, 7 o'clock. Cloudy with a 5% chance of rain. So if you were thinking about heading out to the park tonight and you were skeptical because of the overcast, our Nats weather report says no rain in sight tonight as the Nats try and look for their second consecutive series win after taking 2-3 against the best team in the American League. Dylan Cruz playing his second career series off to a 4-for-11 start. Bat was hot, including his 2-for-4 effort the other night where he had a leadoff homer and an RBI double off the wall. So hopefully the future of the Nats can continue with his hot bat. Today's game day weather presented by our pals at Pepco. Storm season is here, and we know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. It's going to be a storm this weekend in college football as we get geared up for a massive Week 1. Triple header on ESPN is going to get all of us in a lather. Clemson in Georgia, Miami in Florida. It is going to be an absolute doozy this weekend. I hope the weather in those games
don't impact the ultimate outcome. We'll talk a little bit more college football before we get out of here. We'll take a quick timeout, though. When we come back, we'll take a spin around the National Football League as we get geared up for week number one of the NFL season. All that and more coming up next here on the Chris Russell Show. But first, a trending alert. This trending alert brought to you by our friends at Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. We told you earlier, Marquise Hollywood Brown not expected to be on the field with Kansas City as they take on Baltimore in the season opener coming up on Thursday Night Football. Elsewhere in the AFC, the Dolphins extending head coach Mike McDaniel through the 2028 season. Dak Prescott with some interesting comments the other day. No deadline on talks for the contract, but no deal says a lot for our pal Dak Prescott. MLB, we mentioned the Nationals in action tonight as they take on the Chicago Cubs in a weekend series. It is a 6:45 first pitch. You can hear all of the action over on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan, and that's what's trending. Team 980, we're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Lynnell Willingham sitting in for Chris Russell. About 20 minutes left to go in the program before we hand things over to Craig Hoffman. He will take you on your afternoon drive home. As we mentioned in the trending alert, Nats and Cubbies getting ready to start a weekend series. Tonight, Jake Irvin looking for win number 10 on the season. One thing I didn't get to in the trending alert that we'll get to and clean up on aisle three to wrap up the show, a little NBA news. A couple contracts being given out. We'll get to that and clean up on aisle three. But right now, want to take a spin around the National Football League. Our football coverage right here on the Team 980 presented by our pals at T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. A lot to get to when it comes to taking a spin around the National Football League. Matt, I was not a good radio host and did not tell you about the audio that we got for this segment from last night's fold. Let you hear from Mike Tomlin. We'll let you hear from Kyle Shanahan. Couple of nuggets. That's because you're a star, Matthew. That's why you have it. Wanted to take a spin around the NFL. We found out yesterday, or 2 days ago rather, that Russell Wilson going to be named the starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, this was one of the couple of quarterback controversies this offseason that I had my eyes glued on. They had a interesting start to the season. They're on the road in Hotlanta taking on the revamped Atlanta Falcons in week number one. Here is Mike Tomlin addressing the media and explaining his decision to go with Russell Wilson in week one.
I met with both quarterbacks here just a few minutes ago after practice, and I informed them that Russ is QB1 going into week one. It was a difficult decision, but not difficult in a negative way, to be quite honest with you. It was difficult in a positive way. The decision was difficult because of what they're capable of doing. Decision was difficult because of how they have conducted themselves, as opposed to the things that they fall short in terms of capabilities or negative conduct. Both guys have been really professional. I've been really excited about getting to know them and their games and having the ability to analyze what both are capable of bringing.
It's Mike Tomlin talking to the Steelers media about why they made the decision to go with Russell Wilson. I'll say this. This was the most anti-Steelers move I can remember here in recent memory. Mike Tomlin is all about going hard or going home, leaving it all out on the field. I got the old adage, if you're scared, go to church. There is no way in hell that a Pittsburgh Steelers team last year that won 10 games with Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett under center, there's no way they think Russell Wilson is the cure to the 2024 Pittsburgh Steelers. I have said it all offseason. I think me and Chris have vehemently disagreed on this. I would go with Justin Fields in week one. I would. I think for this reason. Think about what the Pittsburgh Steelers have offensively. They're not going to ever be mistaken with the greatest show on turf. They'll never be mistaken for the 2019 Chiefs. I mean, this is an offense. It's George Pickens and a cast of misfits on the skills on the perimeter. Van Jefferson, Jag, Calvin Austin, who? Scotty Miller. Now, Pat Freiermuth, they give him his credit. Established, proven tight end. They drafted two offensive linemen within the first two rounds of the draft in Troy Fatanu and Zach Frazier. They're going for it, right? They also go with Mason McCormick out of South Dakota State in the fourth round. So the Steelers are trying to get back to playing Steelers football. And I think a big part of that Steelers brand of football is running it and having tremendous balance and controlling things up front. Like Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, they're an interesting running back duo. Cordarrelle Patterson scored in the preseason on a big chunk run. He's going to be a part of their offense. But in terms of game planning for Pittsburgh, you double George Pickens and live with the rest of the results. They don't have guys that threaten you on the perimeter, and they don't have explosive weapons offensively. I think starting Justin Fields, at the bare minimum, gives defensive coordinators something else to prepare for because of the added running element that he brings to the table. No one's going to mistake Russell Wilson for Justin Fields as a runner, I promise. I know they're both two black quarterbacks, but you will not mistake them for one another. Russell Wilson is so far past his athletic prime that for him to get this opportunity, I don't know if it makes a whole lot of sense. It's not like Russell Wilson was bad last year. Hair over 3,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I want to get back, and I think the Steelers are hoping that he can get back to the 2020 version. In 2020, it's crazy. Russell Wilson threw 40 touchdowns and over 4,000 yards. He hadn't sniffed that since. Does Pittsburgh have the supporting cast around him to allow him to reach those gaudy numbers once again? I don't think they do. I don't think they do. One thing Mike Tomlin did say that we did not play for you is that he told his old buddy Raheem Morris, who he is the mentor of, and Raheem, now the head coach in Atlanta, he told Raheem, hey, look, straight up, you better bet your ass you're going to have to prepare for Justin Fields. He's too talented to leave him on the sideline. And I like Mike Tomlin doing that because even if he doesn't play him, you know old Raheem Morris is listening to Mike T's media availabilities. You got to prepare for it. You got to prepare for it. I do think, though, that he wasn't just talking out of the side of his neck. I think we are going to see a Justin Fields offensive package or two just because it makes the most sense, right? It just makes the most sense, to my opinion. But ultimately, I feel like they probably internally feel like Russell gives him the best chance to win. There's this other angle I'm looking at with it. I don't think Russell Wilson is going to have a very long leash. And I think they're probably hopeful internally that maybe, although both guys are set to be free agents at season's end, I think there is a hope and belief internally that Justin can potentially be the long-term answer here for Pittsburgh. And if that is the case, if you start Justin and it doesn't go well, and you feel like Russell may give you a better chance, if you bench Justin Fields, that's like a big middle finger to Justin Fields from the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's not having confidence in him. You don't want to break him. And I think he's mentally tough enough to where that wouldn't bother him. But he would be annoyed by it, I'm sure. I'm sure he's annoyed at not being the starter. He took 25 more preseason snaps than Russell Wilson did. A lot of that due to injury. But it's also very telling. Nonetheless, I give, as I pull up the Steelers schedule here real quick, to try to forecast when we could see Justin Fields, they open up at Atlanta, at Denver, home for the Chargers, at Indianapolis, and they're home for Dallas on Sunday Night Football. Then they're at the Raiders the very next week. Do you start them? Do we see Justin Fields week 4 on Sunday Night Football against Dallas? I would have to think like Russell gets at least 4 games. And if they're not 500 or better, I think you go with Justin Fields. And notice how I mentioned the record. I think that has everything to do with it. I don't think it's about numbers. I think it's about wins and losses. Because if it was about upside in production, you'd probably go with Justin Fields. But as we mentioned, Mike Tomlin naming Russell Wilson the week one starter for the New England Patriots. The Browns restructured Deshaun Watson's contract yesterday. Whew. You want to talk about NFL players and coaches that are under the microscope and on the hot seat entering 2024? I don't think there's more pressure on any individual in the NFL, whether that's an executive, coach, player. I don't think there's anyone that has more pressure on them going into this year than Deshaun Watson. And I think yesterday, with what Cleveland did, first of all, let me have a quick church clap to the front office of Cleveland. You made your bed, you got to lay in it. Let's just be real with it. They converted, or cleared rather, $35 million in cap space yesterday. $35 million in cap space. So next year, the Browns will have $62 million in cap. And it feels like that group is preparing for a do-or-die scenario this year with Deshaun. His cap hit now for 2024 is just $27 million. Wait till I tell you the cap hit the next 2 years. In 2025, next year, the cap hit for Deshaun Watson, $72.9 million. You telling me they're going to pay that? Probably not. We'll get to what we didn't get to coming up next and clean up on aisle three.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
One final segment to wrap up the show as we get ready to pass things over to our pal Craig Hoffman. He will take you on your afternoon drive home. New staple to the program. Some things we did not get to and clean up on aisle three.
I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three.
To the NBA, Stephen Curry and the Golden State Warriors agreeing to a one-year extension worth $62.6 million. It'll keep Curry under contract in Golden State through the 26-27 season. Steph becomes the fourth NBA player along with LeBron, Paul George, and Kevin Durant, check this out, to pass $500 million in career earnings. I don't know if this one-year extension quiets any of the LeBron James to Golden State trade talks that were happening over the summer and after the two were all smoochy during USA basketball, but I still am rooting for that as a fan of LeBron James. To the WNBA, and our pal Chris Russell would love this. Fever in Sky tonight. Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark is the most expensive WNBA game ticket with an average price of $334. These two women These two women are leading the charge. Now, I will say this. The rookie of the year debate is not much of a debate right now here in the first couple of games post-Olympic break. Caitlin Clark has been absolutely awesome. Angel Reese has had a 19-rebound performance, but Caitlin, I think, is taking her game to another level. You know what Angel Reese needs to do? My old ball coach, Dan Harwood at Magruder High School, would tell me, would laugh at this. The mic and drill. I don't think he would laugh at it. He'd probably say, yeah, but no, you're right. The mic and drill. Where you literally throw the ball off the backboard, grab it, lay it up. Throw the ball off the backboard, grab it, lay it up. Honoring the great George Mikan of the Los Angeles Lakers back in the day, who was an excellent rebounder and finisher around the rim. Angel needs to do the Mikan drill from now until the start of next season. Because if the girl can ever make layups, she is going to be a walking 20-20 machine. Mark my words. Elsewhere in cleanup on aisle three, the Kansas City Chiefs. They're a very interesting team as we get geared up for the 2024 season. They're in a situation where they're looking to three-peat for the first time in NFL history. And quite frankly, I think they're going to have a real good shot to do so. The question remains, who is going to be active and available when it's time to try and three-peat? According to Pro Football Talk, and I know some of you are going to roll your eyes when I say that, they're a very credible source, so please chill. According to Pro Football Talk, Rashee Rice likely has clearance to play in week number one despite all of the off-the-field drama he got into this offseason. The reckless driving stuff, all of that. The league told PFT 16 days ago that it won't take legal action until his case ends. Huh? In what other scenario does that happen? Normally the NFL, let me just use this example. Mike Hall Jr. of the Cleveland Browns accused has a domestic violence allegation. They're not waiting until his case is done being investigated to suspend him. He has been put on the commissioner's exempt list to start the season. So I don't know what's going on in Kansas City with that. I do know this. Good thing Rashee Rice is going to be available to play because Marquise Hollywood Brown is not. That's going to do it for cleanup on aisle three. Big thank you to Logan Paulson. Big thank you to former Clemson head coach Tommy Bowden. Big thank you to Matthew Essick keeping us up to speed. Labor Day weekend coming up. Enjoy the college football and catch me 3-6 right here on the Team 980 coming up on Monday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.